Hello, beloved, and welcome to our 10th part, part 10 of Privileges of Believers. We're going to look at a few more privileges that we as God's people have, and let me tell you, wow, it's so amazing if we look at all the privileges that we have. We can only but praise the Lord for what He has done for us in Christ Jesus. But before we do that, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You that we can come to You. Thank You for Your love and kindness towards us. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for the privileges that we have as believers. We pray, Father, that it will touch our hearts, that we will understand. We will take to heart, understand what it means to be a believer and the privileges that You've given us as Your children. Make it our own, Father. Please, I pray in Jesus' name, enable me as Your servant to teach Your people so that Your name may be glorified in and through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. All right. So let's start with the first one for today, and that is that we have the privilege as a believer to have God as our strength or our source of strength. We have God as our source of strength. This is just absolutely amazing. Now, Psalm 18 verse 2 says the following. And I want to just spend some time on this verse because, wow, what an amazing verse. It says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Wow, that's a mouthful. That's absolutely a mouthful. So the psalmist starts off by saying that the Lord is his rock. That's like a cleft rock, which basically means that God is his concealment. God is the one who conceals around him, that kind of covers him. That's a statement to make. Besides the fact that a rock is normally, especially if you talk about a big rock, in comparison to us as human beings, maybe if we compare it to other materials or things that are larger than rocks, then a rock is not such a significant thing. But if we think about it, that a rock, for us as people, as mortal human beings, a rock, especially a big one, is something that we look at and we think about it, wow, huge, strong, heavy. You know, all the words or the things that go through our minds when we think of a rock. And the psalmist says that the Lord is my rock. He is like this cleft rock. He's the one that conceals me. He is so huge. When I climb into this cleft, when I climb into this rock, then I am concealed. I am protected. That's not where it ends. He says, "And my fortress." That just basically means he's my safety or my shelter. That's who God is. God is not only our rock, he's also our fortress. And then he says, he's my deliverer. Now, obviously, when we look at it spiritually speaking, it means that God is the one who delivers us from the power and the bondage of sin. Okay, through Christ Jesus, our Lord. But he's not only our deliverer from sin, he's our deliverer from separation between him and us. You know, Adam and Eve already messed up. It brought separation between man and God. And God delivers us in the sense that he cleanses us of our sin. He delivers us from the power of sin. He declares us righteous. He reconciles us to himself. And in that sense, he's also a deliverer that delivers his people from the separation that is between us and God. But he also delivers us from evil. He delivers us from things that are bad. Now, here we can say, but wait. If we say that God is our deliverer from evil, why does bad things happen to good people? Why do God's people experience evil in this world? Well, beloved, if God delivers us from evil, if God delivers us from all the bad in this world, it takes us home. He takes us to heaven to be in his presence forever and ever. In that sense, ultimate deliverance is for when God delivers us from this earth, when he takes us away from this earth. In that sense, he is the deliverer. But there are times that God decides to intervene into this world And he decides supernaturally that he's going to deliver people from certain, could be certain death, it could be injury, it could be evil people, it could be bankruptcy, it could be whatever. There are times that God just kind of interrupts this world, where God supernaturally takes his hand and pushes it into this world and does something that is supernatural, even though it's very natural, but he does it supernaturally, and he delivers his people. And in this sense, the psalmist is 100% correct when he says, the Lord is my rock, which means the Lord is my concealment. Ultimately, the perfect concealment is if he takes me home. Nothing can touch me then. Now, Romans chapter 8 says it so beautifully, that not height or depth or something living or something dead or anything can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if he's our rock, he's our concealment, and our ultimate concealment, our ultimate protection is when he takes us home to be with him forever and nothing can touch us again. So whenever we look at Scripture, Scripture has this eternal vision or this eternal purpose behind it. And we are so caught up in this world and the temporary things of this world that it's so easy for us to think here and now. So if we think of God as my rock, it means he's going to protect me from the bad things that's going to happen to me in this life. Yes, that's true that God at times can do that. But ultimately, God is my rock for eternity. He is my concealment. He's my shelter. He's the one where I can hide away. As it says in the next one, it says he's my fortress. Now, he's my safety. He's my shelter. But he's my safety not only for this life. He's my safety forever. So the Bible, once again, when we look at Scripture and God's revelation, it's a revelation of eternity. Obviously, that includes the here and now. But there are times we're going to experience suffering. There are times that we will lose our lives for the sake of Christ. There are times when bad things happen, when we are overtaken by evil. There are things that happens to God's people that are bad. But ultimately, God is our deliverer. He's our deliverer from sin. And ultimately, he will deliver us from this wicked world and everything in this world when he takes us home to be with him. All right, but that's not all. That's not where the psalmist stops. He says, and this is the one that we are looking at now, the privileges of saints, is the fact that God, he is our source of strength. Eh? We have God as our source of strength. That's one of the benefits or the privileges of being a saint. So he says, my God, my strength. What a declaration. The psalmist first says, he says, God is his God, my God. Can you hear? That's so personal. Very, very personal. God is the psalmist's God. Beloved, God is our God. He's the only God. Now, there's no other God besides the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The creator of the universe. The creator of this earth. Our creator. There's nobody like him. Never was and never will be. There's only one God. And the psalmist declares that God is his God. What a declaration. But then he says, my strength. Now, when you look at a rock, one of the things about a rock is if we look at it from our perspective, obviously not when we have this massive crane that can move a rock or whatever, but when we look at it from our perspective, when you look at a huge rock, let's say a rock that's 100 times our size, then normally what we see is the fact that that rock seems as if it's immovable for us. Now, this is the idea in this word. God is my strength, which means he is immovable like a rock in the sight of a normal human being. That's the kind of strength that God has. God cannot be moved. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is God, we are human beings, and God is our strength. And then he says, that's not where the psalmist ends. He says, my strength in whom I will trust. Wow. Why would he put his trust in God? Because God is as immovable like a huge, massive rock that no human being can move by their own strength. And that's what the psalmist says. He says, I can trust in my God who is my strength. Right? He is immovable. Immovable, completely immovable like a rock. But then he says also, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. A shield, what does a shield do? It normally protects us from the darts and the things that the enemy throws at us. So to the psalmist, God is his shield. He's the one who protects him from the enemies and the evil of the enemy. And then he says he is the horn of my salvation. Now, what is a horn representative of? Normally, when you look at a horn, especially on an animal, when you look at buck, for example, and their horns that they have, what do they do with their horns? They use it to protect themselves, but they also use it to attack. Let's say, for example, it's a ram. It will use the horns to attack another ram, to show dominance. Né? And this is what the psalmist says. He says, God is the horn of my salvation. Which means, God is the horn of my salvation. He's the one who protects my salvation. He's the one who is the strength of my salvation. He's the one who attacks the enemy when the enemy comes against my salvation. God is the horn of my salvation. He's the symbol, as a horn is the symbol on an animal. God is the horn, the protection and the strength of my salvation. And then he ends off with these words. He says, my stronghold. Wow. That word stronghold is like a tower or a high place. You know, a place that is beyond the reach of danger, basically. That's what it boils down to. So God is my stronghold. He is like a tower that is high up and I am unreachable. That's who God is. He is my stronghold. Isn't this amazing? Let me just read it to you again, because I think it's so beautiful that we can read it again. Psalm 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock. Now, he's my concealment and my fortress. He's my safety. He's my shelter. And he's my deliverer from sin and ultimate deliverer to go into heaven with him. My God, the only God. Now, my strength. He's the immovable one. Like a rock is immovable, he's the immovable one, in whom I will trust. I will put my full trust and faith in him, for he is who he says he is. He is my shield. He's the one that protects me from all the fiery darts from the enemy. And he's the horn. He's the protection and the strength of my salvation. He's the one that has my salvation firmly in his hands. And he is my stronghold. He's a tower on a high place, or he's a high place where no one can touch me, where I'm beyond danger. Ultimately, God is all of this in the sense that we receive all of this in eternity in its fullness, in its perfection. This side of heaven, obviously, it's not there yet. But ultimately, we will have it for all eternity when we are with Christ in heaven forever and ever. And that, beloved, that is one of the privileges that we as believers have. And isn't it absolutely amazing? Absolutely amazing. There's another passage of scripture. It's Psalm 41 verse 1. Which kind of says something of the same thing. Where it says, God is our refuge and strength. Remember, the privilege that we're looking at is the fact that God is our strength. So he's the source of our strength. My strength comes from him. It does not come from myself. It doesn't come from my abilities or the amount of weights that I pick up or the amount of exercise that I do. No, God is our strength. He is the source of our strength, but he's also our refuge. Literally, it means a place of trust. He's a place that we can flee to. That's the God that we worship. He's our refuge. He's a place that we can flee to. He's the one that we can flee to with all our troubles and all our issues and whatever. And he's our strength. He's the source of our strength. A very present help in trouble. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Because that kind of Psalm 46 verse 1 kind of connects to our next privilege that we need to look at. And that is that we have God as our refuge. Yeah. That's a privilege that we as believers have. Not only do we have God as our strength, we have God as our refuge. This is just absolutely amazing. Psalm 46 verse 1 that I just read to you. God is our refuge. That refuge also refers to the fact that He is the one that we can run to for help. He's the one that we can run to for protection. He's a place of refuge when we are in turmoil. He's a place of safety. He's like a retreat that we can run to whenever we are in turmoil, whenever our lives are upside down. He's the one that we can run to. God is our refuge. That's a privilege that we as saints have, that we can run to Him. We can run to His safety. We can run to and retreat with Him. Whenever we're in turmoil, whenever we're in trouble, whatever, we can run to Him. He is that place of refuge. He is the one that we can go to find refuge and rest for our souls, beloved. So we have the privilege that God is the source of our strength. We have the privilege that God is also our refuge. Isaiah chapter 25 verse 4 says the following. You have been a strength to the poor. A strength to the needy in his distress. A refuge from the storm. You see that beautiful word there? God is a refuge for us from the storm. And once again, we can say to one another, but what if the storm comes? What if I'm like Jesus and the disciples on the boat? Or what if I'm alone and a storm comes and it is threatening my life? What do I do? How do I look at that? How can I then say, oh, you know what? God is my refuge from the storm. What if I die when I'm in the storm? What if it is so serious that I die in the storm? What then? Can I still say that God is my refuge from the storm? Of course. Beloved, we look eternally. We don't look at the here and the now. Obviously, it is amazing if somebody is delivered from a storm, when somebody is saved from a storm, when somebody is saved from grave danger. It is amazing if that happens, especially if it happens in the here and the now. It is just one of those things that we say to one another, that is a miracle when that happens. I love to watch these documentaries of people where it says, I was supposed to be dead. You know, where they end up in a place where they really supposed to be dead. And somehow, by a massive miracle, they make it out alive. And many of these people are not even believers, but they just make it out. I believe, by the way, that is God's common grace. That's why they were not hurt, or not dead, because God is still giving them an opportunity to be saved and come to salvation and saving grace so that they can actually be saved and how can I say, be alive forever. Otherwise, they come out of this miracle and they've received this miracle, they have their life, and then what does it help if they die? Because they're going to go to hell. But for a believer, God is our refuge. Even if I die in the storm, I still have eternal life with Christ. That's my hope. That's the amazing thing that I have that is in Christ. So He is my refuge from the storm. Not just here and now, but that's up to Him. That's up to God's will. Whether God is going to take me away when the storm comes, or whether He's going to do a miracle to keep me alive, that's up to Him. That's something I put in Him. I put my trust, my full trust in Him, that He will decide what to do and how to do it. That's up to Him. But if He takes me home to be with Him forever, has He been my refuge? Of course. Because He's my eternal refuge from any storm that comes my way, even the storm of death. But that's not where the Psalm Isaiah ends. He says, He's a shade from the heat. Beloved, I've heard of many people who've been in a desert or who's been in an area where the heat is heavy and they nearly die because of the heat. I've heard of people who died because of heat. But here it says that God is a shade from the heat. There are times, like in, you remember when Jonah, when he spoke to Nineveh and he prophesied to Nineveh that Nineveh was going to be destroyed, and the people repented and he went outside the city to watch the city be destroyed, and this wonder tree came up. God was a shelter for him from the heat. But God was the one who took away that wonder tree. And obviously Jonah moaned. But God is the one that is in control. So there are times, and we read it in the life of Jonah, that God is a shade from the heat. But sometimes God doesn't give us shade from the heat here and now. It could be that God decides that's the way I'm going to go home. And I go home, and when I'm in heaven, I will never have a problem with heat again. Why? Because I don't fear death. I don't fear hell. I don't fear the pool of fire. Ultimately, God will, He's a refuge from the heat, from the storm, and He's a shade from the heat of hell, of the abyss. Not the abyss, from the pool of fire. All right. Isaiah continues to say, for the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. It's just amazing. The terrible ones, what he's speaking about here in the New King James, is obviously the enemies of Israel. But he says, these enemies, the blast of them, when they come in like a storm, and they come in with all the fury, then it's amazing. It's if they come in as a storm, it's like coming against the wall around the house. Because if the water comes, it first has to bypass the wall. It has to come over the wall, or it has to break the wall before it can actually reach the house. And in that sense, Isaiah says, that's the God we serve. Beloved, that's the privilege that you and I have as saints, to serve God. That's who He is for us. Right, so we have the privilege to have God as our source of strength, and we have the privilege to have God as our refuge. Absolutely amazing. That's all for this Bible study. God willing, we'll speak about some more privileges of believers in our next Bible study. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' name, and thank you for your love and kindness towards us. Thank you that you are our refuge. Thank you that you are our strength. Thank you for all the privileges that we enjoy as your children. Oh, Father, make it real and alive to each one of us, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Beloved, bye-bye. Until next time, God willing, have a lovely day, have a lovely week, and may the Lord bless you and keep you, may His face shine upon you and give you His peace. God willing, until next time, bye-bye.